I'd like to welcome everyone out to the service this morning, and we welcome as our preacher today, Reverend William McRae. The evening service will be at 7 p.m, preceded by a time of prayer from 6:30, and the preacher will again be the Reverend McRae. Remember, the prayer meeting this week has been moved to Monday night, so that's tomorrow night at 8 p.m, and the Reverend Marcus Leckie will take that meeting. Next Lord's Day, the preacher will be the Reverend Michael Patrick. On Wednesday night at the deputation meeting for Chris Killen, the offering was £386. And just some other general announcements. The Youth Council Open Air will be held in Portrush Saturday, 15th July at 7 p.m. And the Youth Council Barbecue at the White Rocks Beach is on Friday, the 20th of July at 7 p.m. And the Christian Workers Training Academy is commencing again on Thursday, the 12th of October in Tangeragee Free Presbyterian Church. And if you look at the Free Presbyterian Church Facebook site, you can get the details of that.
Thank you very much indeed, and it's good to be here this morning. We pray that God will bless our coming together. Now we're going to commence with hymn 625, well known, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear." What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And we want everyone to be the choir. Want to hear you all singing in good voice this morning for "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Let's set our hearts in the presence of the Lord and seek the face of God together. Let us pray. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this Thy day. We thank Thee for the house of the Lord that we can come into. And Lord, as a people separated unto Thyself, we thank Thee that Thou hast called us to come apart. We thank Thee, our God, our Heavenly Father, for the privilege of gathering together to sing the songs of Zion, to read Thy precious word, and to listen to the exposition of Thy truth. And we pray this morning that thou wilt, Lord, bless thy people who have come to thy house. We thank thee that thou hast reminded us where two or three are gathered together in my name, that there thou art in the midst of them and that to bless. And O God, our Heavenly Father, we know that thou art here this morning because thou hast promised it. We thank thee that thy promises cannot fail, for thou art the God who art faithful to keep thy word. We ask of thee that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt take of thy word and write it upon each and every one of our hearts today. We pray that we might know something of that Emmaus Road experience. When, Lord, the disciples walking down that road, the two of them were sad because of what happened at Jerusalem and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet they didn't realize that Christ has risen from the tomb. The grave clothes were left behind, and Jesus Christ was risen indeed. And, O God, we thank thee that in the midst of their grief and sorrow and sadness, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. We pray, Lord, that even in the midst of this day of darkness, this day of apostasy, this day, Lord, of declension, we ask of thee that thou wilt indeed draw graciously near to us. Help us this morning that our hearts may rejoice and, Lord, be glad in the Lord. We thank thee, our God, our Heavenly Father, we're on the victory side. We're not fighting for the victory. We thank thee we're fighting from it because Christ hath won the battle at the cross. We thank thee that he arose a victor o'er the dark domain and he lives forever with the saints to reign. Hallelujah. He arose. And we pray that, Lord, today that we might, Lord, just rejoice in that fact that we serve a risen and exalted Savior. Lord, we pray for the family of God across this wee land of ours. Thou knowest, Lord, every faithful testimony that stands for the book and the blood. And we pray that thou wilt bless them today. Encourage them in the work of God. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless across the United Kingdom and across the world. For thou hast said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Help thy children, our God, to be encouraged in the Lord today. And do as David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And today our eyes are turned upon thee. And so, Lord, we just wait in thy presence. Bless us and do us good. And as we sing these songs of Zion, we pray that we might sing it out of a full heart, rejoicing in the God of our salvation. Hear and answer our prayer, remembering that the sick of the congregation, any that are laid aside, we pray for the aged and the infirm. We pray for, Lord, the young people. Oh, God, we pray that thou will watch over them. And, Lord, we pray that thou will bless them. Even at this time, Lord, when vacation is upon us, we ask of thee that thy children will not forget thy house, to remember thy day and the honor of thy day, and to gather together, not forsaking the assembling of themselves together, O God, as thou hast told them to. Hear and answer our prayer, for we pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Hymn 515, is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready his service to do? 515. We stand to sing. Let's sing together the words of this lovely hymn.
Thank you.
I want us to open God's precious word this morning in the book of Matthew's Gospel in chapter number 9. Ninth chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel. And we're going to read some verses from God's precious word from verse number 27. Matthew 9, verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, and saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they departed, spread abroad his fame in all the country. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitude marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Just a little verses of a hymn before we come once again to sing our final hymn.
I can hear a distant cry shouting out, The time is nigh, as the Father tells His Son, Work on earth, this day is done. Sun go bring my children home, for I want them gathered round my throne. It's time to reap the harvest you've sown. Sun, go bring my children home. What a joy just to see His face. In His arms we will embrace. Nevermore we'll have to roam, for He'll finally bring us home. Sun, go bring my children home, for I want them gathered round my throne. It's time to reap the harvest you've sown. my children home. It's time to reap the harvest you've sown. Sun, go bring my children home. Sun, go my children home.
We're going to sing a few verses of another hymn together, and it is 526, and it's a challenge to each and every one of us. 526, and let's think of the words even as we sing together. I have only one life on this earth, and as a vapor is passing away, I must labor for treasures of worth ere toil ends at the close of the day. Let's stand to sing the words of this hymn together. 526. Let's think of the words as we sing them. I want you to open your Bibles once again in the book of Mark's Gospel in chapter 16. And we commence reading at verse number 9. That's Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. And commence reading at verse number 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And he went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked, and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. God will add his blessing as he does through the reading of his precious word. Let's have a little word of prayer before we come to the preaching of God's truth. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today that once again we're gathered round thy precious word. And O God, we just set our minds back to whenever the Savior gathered his disciples around him on the Mount of Olives and he spake to them and he preached unto them. What a wonderful occasion that was. Yet our God, our Heavenly Father, here we are in thy house today, doing as thou hast commanded. And we're gathered round thy word. And Lord, we ask of thee that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt speak to our hearts. And show us, our God, our Heavenly Father, thy will for our lives. And so we commit ourselves to thee, bless us now, and do us good, for we pray in Jesus' precious name, and for Jesus' sake. Amen. When the Lord Jesus Christ worked the first miracle recorded in John's Gospel chapter 2, the Lord Jesus Christ was invited to work a miracle. His mother told him that the feast there had been without wine. And Mary said unto his disciples a word that in actual fact is something that you and I should never forget. Mary said to his disciples, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And that's very simple, isn't it? Here's clear instruction. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You remember whenever Saul of Tarsus was saved? And there in the Damascus road, he was gloriously transformed. The Lord called him by name. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And then Saul said something. After his conversion, he said these words to the Lord. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you want me to do? Remember, Mary said, whatever he says, do it. And so therefore, what we inquire is this, well, what does the Lord want us to do? What has God said that you and I have got to do? Now, of course, we have instruction in the Old Testament, the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. Because that question is asked, but thank God it's also answered. It says, He hath showed, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? And the answer is, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So God has given us here instruction in his precious word. He said to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. But I want this morning to, in answer to the question, what does he say unto us specifically this morning as his children here in Six Mile Cross today? What is God saying to you and to me to do? What does he want us to do? As Saul has said, Lord, what wilt thou have me? Listen, me. Now forget about the person sitting beside you. If you're a child of God, I want you to ask this question to the Lord. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And I want to tell you what God tells us to do in answer to that question. And if you're coming before the Lord, friend, humbly and reverently, then you will hear a word that God has said and requires of you to do. Now we read this morning in the book of Matthew's Gospel, and the chapter number 9, first of all. And it says in verse number 37 these words, "Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And then he says these two words, "Pray ye." Pray ye. Say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Well, the first one is, pray ye. This is something that God requires of us to do. God wants his people to pray. And my friend, this is, I know sometimes it is seen that the prayer meeting is a Cinderella meeting of the church, because not many of God's people feel the burden that they've got to pray. And yet, my friend, here is the instruction for the Lord, or from the Lord's lips to his disciples. He said, listen, he says, the harvest truly is plenteous, the laborers are few, so what do we do, Lord? What can we do about it? Well, he says, listen, pray ye. Pray ye the Lord, therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You need to pray that God will send forth laborers into his harvest. And that's what God wants you to do. God wants you to be a person of prayer. I was visiting a home the other day. I haven't seen this man for some time because of COVID and all the rest of it. An elderly gentleman in a nursing home. And when I went in to speak to him and we talked together for a little while, he said these words to me. Now remember, he said, you know, I'll soon be 100. He said, I was born on the 8th of June, 1924. Says, "I will, eh?" That means, and this was a few days before his birthday, I said, you know, in a few days' time, you will be 99. You'll be commencing your 100th year. Now, Willie's mind is not just the same as what it used to be, and sitting there in that nursing home, but he said this to me. He said, you know, Mr. McRae, I miss the prayer meetings. I miss the prayer meetings. And then he said to me, you know, I was one of the prayer warriors. I said, that's right, Willie. That's what I always called you. One of my prayer warriors. Because I knew when I was going down over the side to reach the lost, I knew that Willie was holding the ropes of prayer. And friend, even at 99, now in his 100th year, that's the burden of his heart, the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting. And I ask you before God, if you're a child of God, my friend, have you that desire? Have you that desire to earnestly seek the face of God in prayer? Are you desirous to answer this command of Christ? Because it says, pray ye therefore. Pray ye therefore. And therefore when we come, even today to God's house, we come to pray. Now when should we pray? When should we pray? Well, the Bible gives us the answer in the book of Luke's Gospel in chapter 18. And the opening words of that chapter, Luke 18, it just simply says these words. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now many of God's people are fainting today because many of God's people are discouraged. Many of God's people say, listen, brother, there's little happening. May I remember the days of blessing, the days of God's right hand, the days of my great spiritual movement in this wee land of Ulster. But we're not seeing the same today. And friend, that's true. Let's not fool ourselves. Let's not try to pretend. We're not seeing what we used to see. You know, I remember going to meetings Sunday by Sunday, and let me tell you, my friend, after the meeting was over, my mother would ring me and she said to me, William, how many got saved tonight? It wasn't, did anybody get saved? It's how many? Because there was the expectation of God answering the cry of his people, and God was moving in a mighty and a powerful way. And friend, we need to get back to the place where we not only pray, but we pray expectingly, expecting God to move, expecting God to work. Because the sad reality is this, Many of God's people are fainting because they're not praying. And I asked you before God for this congregation of Six Mile Cross. Now listen, you are without a preacher at this time, a minister, because your previous minister, dear brother in the Lord, has moved to another congregation. And you need a preacher. You need a minister to lead this flock of God. So what do you need to do? You need to pray. Pray ye therefore. You need to pray that God will send not only a man, but that God will send the right man to lead the flock of God here in Six Mile Cross and take the word of God forward to the glory and the honor of the Savior's name. You remember Elijah was there in the mount? And after the great victory there, when the fire fell from heaven, do you remember there had been those that long period of time of drought? And now it's time for the showers of blessing. But there's something Elijah does, my friend. Because listen, Elijah sought the face of God and he said, God, I want you to shut up heaven, Lord. I want you to bring judgment upon this people, that they will be humbled, that they will cry out unto thee in the midst of our need. And oh, today, that's what we need in Ulster. We need men and women of God crying out to God, because we need the blessing. We need the showers of blessing. Because the drowns cry, dry, parched, and dry. The only answer is the showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Oh, God, help us to pray to that end, and pray expectantly. And Elijah went up unto the top of the Mount Carmel, and he knelt down on his knees before God, and he said, God, send the rain. Send the rain. Do you know what he told the king to do? Get back to the city quick, because I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Even before it came, he could hear in his ear the sound of the abundance of rain. Why? Because he prayed believingly. He prayed believingly. Daniel was ordered not to pray to anyone but to the king, or to bow down his knee to anyone but to the image. But Daniel went, and what did he do? He went to his house and he knelt down as he always did, as he did aforetime. And he prayed three times a day for God to intervene. And God did. And Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. Friends, humanly speaking, Daniel should have been torn apart, but was he? No! Why? Because he did what God wanted his children and desires today his children to do. To pray. To pray. He continued in prayer. And it says, pray always. Men ought always to pray. That means under all circumstances, at all times, to pray continually, to pray regularly, to pray constantly. Pray ye. Now what should we pray for? I believe, my friend, one of the greatest needs of this day and generation is afresh the outpouring of the Spirit of God. You know, the disciples were told in the book of Luke's Gospel, in the chapter 24, tells us there that they were given instruction what to do. The Lord Jesus said this in Luke 24, verse number 49. He said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. That was the promise of the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm not going to leave you comforters. Yes, I'm going. And I'm going with a purpose to prepare a place for you, and then I'll come again and I'll receive you unto myself. But I'm not going to leave you as orphans. The word comfortless, I'm not leaving you as orphans. He says, I'll come to you. And I'll pray the Father, and he will send another comforter. And he will abide with you forever. And that promise was the promise of the Holy Ghost. But you know, the Lord Jesus said before he went up into heaven, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And friend, that's what the Church of Christ needs today. Let's ask the question. Has the Church of Christ lost its power? Has the pulpit lost its power? It says, tarry ye. In other words, wait on God. Wait in prayer. Tarry ye. Yes, pray ye. Until ye be endued with power from on high. And then when you turn to Acts chapter 1, it tells us there, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And that's what we need today. We need the blessed power of the Spirit of God. Oh, that God would send the blessed anointing of the Spirit of God upon the preaching of His precious word in this day, this dark day in which you and I live. God says in Luke chapter 11, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And then verse 13 of chapter 11 says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Day by day, you and I as God's children, friend, we need that infilling and the outpouring of God the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive power. And you need to pray for your ministers that stand in this pulpit Sunday after Sunday, that God will give them power. Give them the power of the Holy Ghost to pray and preach in that blessed power of the Spirit of God. Now remember the challenge, the first challenge is pray ye. Pray ye. But there are two verses I want to draw your attention before we move on, because there's one other challenge I want to leave with you. But first of all, turn to Isaiah chapter 59 and the verse number 16. Isaiah 59, verse 16. And it says, and he wondered, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. No man, no intercessor. And God saw that. And God wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. My friend, we need to be that intercessor. Be as Willie said to me, brother, I was one of your prayer warriors. Let me ask you, are you one of Six Mile Cross prayer warriors? That every time the preacher steps into the pulpit or the preacher goes out on a mission to reach the lost for Christ, can they depend upon you that you're holding the ropes? Holding the ropes in prayer. Because God says, pray ye. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. And then in the book of Ezekiel, and in the chapter 22, in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 30, and God speaks here, and this is what God says. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy him. Now mark the last words. God says, I found none. I found none. I looked. I sought, says God. I sought for a man. I'm looking for a man. I'm seeking for a man, a woman, a young person, even in this service this morning. I sought for someone among them that they would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. Friend, Ulster's in great need. The United Kingdom's in great need. They're departing from every law of God. The things of God are being cast aside. The day of God has been forgotten. The worship of God, my friend, it's no longer a reality in the vast parts and swathes of our nation. And God says, I sought for a man to stand in the gap before me for the land. But God said this. To stand in the gap for the land, that I should not destroy it. But he said, I found none. Friend, God's seeking for you. There's no use looking at the next person beside you. If you're a child of God, God's looking for you. And God is commanding you to stand in the gap before him for this land, that God should not destroy it. Just as Abram cried out unto God for the sparing of Lot. My friend, let me ask you a question. Isaiah the prophet said this. Here am I, Lord. Send me. And are you willing to say before God, friend, now listen, don't treat this lightly. Don't treat this lightly. Because this is solemn. God says, I'm looking, I'm seeking for a man to make up the hedge, to stand in the gap before me for this land. Are you saying, Lord, I'll be that man. Lord, I'll do it. I'll stand in the gap. Remember, God says, stand in the gap. Listen, make up the hedge before me. It's only God that can send us a movement of the Holy Spirit. It's only God that can revive his work again. Will you say, Lord, you said I found none. My friend, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. God's people unwilling to stand before him. What's the first command? What does God want you to do? Pray ye. But having prayed, my friend, that's not the end of the story. Now let's turn to the last chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel. In the chapter 28. And the Savior's there upon that mount before going up into heaven. And it says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Mark the next two words. Verse 19. Go ye. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, or the end of the world. In the passage of God's word that we read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, the words Jesus said unto them, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's the second command, friend. What does God want us to do? He wants us, first of all, to pray. Because, listen, before we go to do anything, before we get into action, we need to bathe it in prayer. Got to pray first. And then, having prayed, then here's the commission of God to his disciples. Go ye. go ye. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was upon this earth, he told about a certain man. He had two sons. It's recorded in Matthew 21. And he said, he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And he answered and said, "I will not." Here was a son. And his father said, "Son, I want you to go today and work in my vineyard. I want you to go now and work in my vineyard." And he turned to his father and he said, "I will not go." A rebellious son. Now, before you point the finger at this lad, friend, listen. Is there something that God has told you to do, and you haven't done it? Because then that's you. That's you. Something that God has put in your heart. Maybe someone that God has told you to go to. And God has urged you to go to someone, some needy soul. Maybe to speak a word of challenge. Maybe to speak a word of encouragement. Somebody that's down and needs a friend. And God said, go. Just as Jesus on the road to Emmaus, he drew alongside and went with them. Maybe that's someone needs you to draw alongside in the midst of their need, in the midst of their situation, in the midst of their trials, in the midst of their trouble, in the midst of their affliction. And they need someone. They need a child of God to draw near, to bring that word of encouragement. And here's a father says to his son, "Go ye today." Now don't wait. Go today and work in my vineyard. The lad said, "I will not." But it doesn't stop there. Thank God it says this. But afterward, he repented and went. Thank God, friend, he thought over it. He thought of what he said to his father. The father that loved him. The father that cared him. The father that given him the privilege of doing a work in his vineyard. How it hurt the father when he turned to him. "I will not." And if you're a father today, you know exactly. Maybe a rebellious child has turned to you and said, "No, I'll not." You know how that hurts you. But then he thought about it. The Bible said he repented. Change your heart, change your mind. You know what he did? He went. He went. God wants you to go, friend. And then it says in verse 30 of chapter 21 of Matthew, and he came to the second, that's the second son, and he said likewise, "Go work today in my vineyard." And he answered and said, "I go, sir." Now the father's bound to be delighted. Here's an obedient son, and he says, "I go, sir." He's very respectful of his father. Obedient. He says, "I go, sir." But then read on, friend. It said, he says, "I go, sir." And he went not. All promises. Promises. But he broke them. And maybe you have promised something to God this morning. God has told you to do something. God has called you to go somewhere and to speak to someone. And you promise God, "God, I'll do that. I will do it." Maybe someone has said, "Listen, would you pray for me?" And you said, "Yes, I will." But my friend, listen, you broke the promise. He went not. Now, which of those two sons are you? Which one describes you this morning? Thank God, one son went. He went. Will you go? Go ye. In the ninth chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we have the story of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Now, Saul of Tarsus was an evil man. He was a sinful man. He was a persecutor of the saints. He was religious, but he was lost. And the Bible tells us that when God had converted him and he was led into Damascus, God spoke to a man called Ananias. And God says to Ananias something. He said, listen, in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and he said, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. In other words, Lord, I'm ready. What do you want? What do you want me to do? I'm ready to go. Verse 11 says, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. He's not as excited now. He's not just ready to run at the command of God. In verse 13 it says, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Here's Ananias' excuse. What's God say? Verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Go. Go. There's the command. Friend, listen, go over the scriptures. Go over the scriptures and you see how many times that God has said to his children, go! In Mark chapter 5, we have the demon of Gadara, and the Lord transformed his life, changed him. He had been possessed of the devils, and the devils have got to go. And the man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And he says, Lord, wherever you go, I want to go too. You know what Jesus said to him? No, Ananias. No. My friend, he says, go home. Go home. You see, that Jesus not wanted with him. Listen, my friend, he had a work for him to do at home. And friend, that's the hardest place. That can be the hardest place, living for Christ and working for Christ at home. The home ministry. He said, go home and tell thy friends the great things the Lord hath done for thee. Go home. My friend, God may not call you to the mission field. God may not call you to a preacher in the pulpit. But God has called every one of you to go and start at home. You see, the disciples were told in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, they were to start at Jerusalem. That was the home base. And that can be very hard because sometimes the family can be the most discouraging, especially if they're not saved. But God wants you to love Christ before them, friend. God wants you to witness for Christ before them. And it may not be the words that you will say, but it's the life that you live. Because I can tell you, if your life that you're living at home is not glorifying to Christ, it'll not matter what you say. Are you living for Christ? That's why we sang the hymn, is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Where do we go? Well, it says in the commission of Christ, go ye into all the world. Into all the world. But you say to me, the world is so big, so vast. But my friend, of everyone child of God, was to obey the Lord, just to serve him where he has placed them. What a work would be done. I remember Brother Sam Houston used to say, if everyone won one, and if everyone won one, what a host of ones would be won if everyone won one one. You see, that's hard to follow. It's hard nearly to keep on your tongue, but listen, friend, it's the truth. If everyone in this church this morning that professes the name of Jesus Christ was to go out after a soul and seek to bring them in. Now, I know that's not easy, because many people don't care. But if we did it, friend, the seats would be filled up. One by one. What do? Not only where? Teach all nations. That word is make disciples of. Be a soul winner. Be a soul winner. He that winneth souls, the Bible says, is wise. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. But you know, there's a problem as we draw to a close this morning. Many of God's people say, but I couldn't do that. For example, pray ye. Well, I couldn't pray in the prayer meeting because I couldn't pray this. I listened to others and I couldn't pray like him. God never asked you to pray like him or her. But God told you to pray. But I'd be tongue-tied. I wouldn't get the words out. I'd mess it up. Let me tell you, my friend, you're not praying to man sitting in the next seat. You're praying to the God of heaven. He knows about you. He loves you. He wants to hear you pray. Then he says he wants you to go. Teach, make disciples of. You see, I couldn't. Because I'd shake at the knees. I'm too scared. What if they asked me a question I couldn't answer? I'd only look foolish. They wouldn't listen to me. Remember when God told Moses to go? He said, Lord, send somebody else. Is that what you're saying? For this work to be done for God, friend, somebody else. To fill the seats in Six Mile Cross, somebody else. That doesn't answer God's command, commission to you. So as I close this morning, remember these two commands. Pray ye. That's every one of you. That's God's command. And then God says, go ye. God has saved every blood-bought child of God. And he says, ye. Every last one, ye are my witnesses. And the last verse I leave with you is found in that chapter that we read in Mark's Gospel, and the chapter 16. The Lord had given the command, go ye into all the world, verse 15, and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse number 20, here's the last thought. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Listen, let the Lord work with you and through you. And signs will follow. This is God's work. And God has given you and I the privilege of being a little part in it. Pray ye. Go ye. Here's the question. Will you do it? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Will you do it? May God give you grace to say, yes, Lord, I will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts this morning and just write it upon our hearts. Help us, Lord, each and every one to be obedient unto thee. Help us not to leave it to someone else, but help us to go through with thee. Only one life. Only one life to give. I could never withhold it from God. Bless your word in Jesus' name.